From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the second day of January 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes. It's Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. And then a bit later in the program, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Logansport, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, Congress, as part of the newly minted fiscal cliff agreement, has extended the farm bill to cover this year's crop. That's the one to be harvested next fall. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then as we close out our half hour, we'll take up the weather forecast with meteorologist Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And it all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Let's check the numbers as they settle up in Chicago for a Wednesday afternoon. Futures in the soft red winter wheat finished the March contract at 7.55 and a quarter on a settlement price down 22 and three quarters. The July at $7.73 settled 20 and three quarters lower. The hard red in Kansas City up 4 cents on a settlement price for the July or the harvest month at $8.47.5. Back in Chicago, from the corn pit, the nearby contract, March at $6.92. This is a close and not a settlement price, down 6 1/4. The May futures at $6.90.5, down 9 3/4. In July at $6.91.5, down 5 3/4 for the afternoon. September corn, $6.15, down 6 1/4. December at $5.90.5, the new crop corn, down 9 1/4. March futures there at $5.99.5 for 2014, down a dime today. January soybeans, these are settlement prices, down 13 1/4 at $14.05. The March at $13.92 1/4, down 17 1/4. And the May futures, $13.84 1/4, down 15. July beans at $13.82, down 13 1/4. And the August, $13.60.5, down 12 3/4. November beans, $12.94. down 8 3/4 for the day. Bean meal at $4.07.80, down $12.80. Bean oil at $50.52, $1.36 higher. Live cattle futures finished up the April, or rather February, 7.5 cents higher at $132.37.5. Now the April, $136.17.5, a settlement price down 20 cents. January feeders at $151.20, down 20. The March, 37.5 lower at $153.90, and the lean hogs finished the Febs at 86.17.5, up 45. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. February contract, $92.85 a barrel, up $1.03. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, at $2.79.8. That's up 3 6/10 cents. And ethanol at $2.18, a penny lower for the day. Natural gas at $3.23 6/10 is 11.5 cents lower. And the heating oil or diesel fuel is a penny and a tenth higher at $3.04 3/10. Gold futures finished at $1,688.80 an ounce. That's $13 higher, and the U.S. dollar up 0.081 at 79.84 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, sunny skies, a high of just 24 degrees. Then on a south-southwest wind at about 9 miles an hour. Increasing cloudiness with a low of 18 this evening. That south wind will remain. A chance of flurries tomorrow, mostly cloudy, and a high of 27 degrees. And then tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, gradually becoming mostly clear, a low of just 10 degrees tomorrow evening, so it should be really chilly. On Friday, sunny skies and a high of 29. Friday night, mostly clear and 17. Saturday, sunny and 35. Saturday night, cloudy and 21. On Sunday, sunny skies and 30 degrees, mostly clear on Sunday evening, a 21-degree low. And on Monday, sunny skies and 38 degrees. Monday evening, partly cloudy and 27. And on Tuesday of next week, mostly sunny, a high near 40 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get closer to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and will join us as we close out our program here on Illinois Public Media.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Now you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is the third day of January 2012, actually the second day of January 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us is Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. Over the holiday, Washington, D.C. got part of their act together, I guess, and decided they could take care of some of the fiscal cliff, but not all of it. Why don't you put it in context to what's been happening in the marketplace?
Well, I think that, I guess, first off, I'd like to say, you know, milk does a body good because it sure got those congressmen to move when they thought they were going to have $8 milk. They knew that that wouldn't help them at all. And so at least we got something good done. All we did was really, you know, put off the farm bill. And we know that we're going to have another fight on our hands. The biodiesel situation retroacted back to 2012. You could really see that in the bean oil market today. I'll tell you, the bean oil market was on fire, and that's primarily because of this. You know, it's a situation where I still don't think we're truly trading all of the fundamentals that are going on here in the marketplace. And yet, let's take a look back to a year ago today. At this point in time, we were at 643 on nearby beans. Today, where did we close? We closed at 689.5. In the bean market, we were at 1190, and today we're not settled yet, but we're at 1406.5. Wheat market was at 624. You know, it's currently at 754.75. So, you know, we've already started out this year at a much better place than where we've been, even though we're whining because of the fact that we're not higher than where we are. We always have to look back. And, you know, those were numbers that were prior to the drought. And so I think all that says to me is there's good reason for people to protect themselves. Even though we don't have all the moisture we'd like to have, I still think that we have to be very careful because the trade is always looking at these types of numbers as far as saying, well, maybe we're a little overvalued for where we are.
Hey, one of the things that we've looked at in the past as it's related to how well commodities are moving, whether that's internationally or domestically, is freight rates. Have you been following them at all?
Well, I really have, and I actually did went out to the AMS, which is the research department in the USDA, and was able to get some third-quarter information. I think it's pretty good. On barge rates, I can see barge rates right off the screen, and that they're at 67 cents a bushel right now. Rail on a uni train about $0.91. It's $1.01 if you're going on anything smaller than a uni train. And trucking, the best I could get it was at $4.02 a gallon for diesel fuel. That came out to about $1.82 a bushel. The official ocean rates right now to Japan out of the Gulf are running about $1.27. This would be on corn. China $1.22. Pacific Northwest 69 cents, and China 64 cents also for corn. Let's put it a little bit into context, Todd. I looked at Minneapolis to the Gulf for Japan, and this is going to be on corn. Approximately $2.37 for trucking during the third quarter of 2012. Average corn price $6.84 a bushel, and then if you take ocean freight rates and add it on at $1.27, you're looking at $10.58 to be able to ship it out of there. And I have bean information for there, too. $2.54 to take it to the Gulf from Minneapolis. Average cost for beans, $15.30, and comes out to $19.11, basically. Now, if you go to the Pacific Northwest, it's kind of interesting because to freight corn costs $3.14 a bushel. You know, they don't have as much river system as we do, so it's very obvious, you know, that it costs more to get it there. But the average price for corn per bushel was $6.19 versus $6.94. And at 69 cents, $10.02 versus $10.58 going out of the Gulf. Beans $3.34 to get it there, $14.57 versus $15.30 for an average price, 64 cents. That gives you $18.55. And so you can see why there's a lot of concern on the part of the commercial user down here in this part of the world, because those are attractive numbers. Now, mind you, you know, things going out of the Gulf, going to China, are still going to probably, it services a different part of China than mm-hmm. what the Pacific Northwest does. But at the same time, you can see where the pull could be to take some of that grain out. And it might explain why we've had such active buying coming out of the Dakotas, coming down here into Illinois, into Indiana, places like that. They want to get their hands on it while they can. And for the listeners that are local, Champagne to the Gulf basically ran about $1.43. And so, you know, if you put the freight rate onto that or the ocean rate onto that and an average price of $6.94, which is what the USDA had, that's $9.74 a bushel. So you can see that, you know, they definitely are used to being able to pull grain out of our area, which hasn't been a very easy thing to do this year.
Right. So so let me see if I can put some of that into context. So it tells you that from Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, that they have a good market to the Pacific coast.
Right.
They also have an unusual market to Decatur and other parts of the our part of the world, which has been pretty good as well. And did I hear you say that shipments from here to the Pacific Northwest were happening as along the way?
No.
Did I hear that right? I didn't.
No,
they're
coming in from
right.
from the markets that normally would supply the Pacific Northwest
are
actually supplying
here.
Us.
That's what I
right.
thought.
Right.
But I thought maybe you said it the other way around, and I wanted to clarify that. So,
yeah. No.
So what it tells you, does it tell you anything about those folks that have a good corn crop or soybeans that are left in storage that are in Illinois, Indiana, in our radio station coverage area?
Well, I think what it says to me, and we've talked about this before, is if you do have good grain, you better make sure that whoever you normally sell to knows about it, because it tells me that the normal pricing here probably isn't going to be quite as good as we'd like to see it, and especially not going to be reflective of a good crop or good quality grain. And so if you want to get a good price out of it, you have to be watching and letting people know that that's where you're at. Now, one of the things I watch as a rule of thumb when it comes to the wheat market
mm-hmm.
is French wheat and the black sea wheat. And it's very interesting because French wheat today hit 901, and we are at 754 and three quarters. Usually a good indicator for us as to how competitive our wheat market will remain in the world. And black sea wheat was at 871. We're at 811 and a quarter. And so, you know, it again just backs up the fact that when you look at those markets, they don't have all of the supply that they'd like to have, and it just gives us here in the U.S. more opportunity to be able to sell our local wheat. And when I'm talking about over there, Todd, one of the funny things I saw today for 2013 was the big concern in Russia right now is where they're going to buy a beer. They've, as of January 1st, I didn't know they did this, but they had kiosks that's actually sold beer along the highways and on the regular streets in the cities. And they've now reclassified beer from being a food to an alcoholic beverage.
Hmm.
And so they can no longer do that. And so I just 2013 is bringing changes everywhere.
It gives new meaning to Redbox.
I guess it does. Yes.
No
question
that.
About that. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we look at crude oil, too. You know, starting out the new year, of course, we've had a really strong crude oil market. And, you know, when you compare that to London, London's at 111. We're sitting at 93 right now. It certainly indicates, too, that we may not be able to hang on to the cheaper gas prices that we're currently or have currently been experiencing. So a lot of things changing. I just think that the fiscal cliff situation is not over, and it's only going to come back and rear its ugly head again as we go further down. And
probably
to me, that,
sometime in the month of February, I would suppose.
Well, and then when you take a February cliff deal, and then you look at the fact that China policy is going to be announced in February, sometime after the lunar holiday, those could be two really big things for us in the commodity market. So, you know, along with South American weather, beans beginning to come on, there's just, I think that that's really what kind of dampened the market spirits today. They, you know, the Dow looks wonderful, but everything else was like, well, you know, we still don't feel real comfortable about where we're headed.
And one other item to make sure we get to, the Mississippi River looks like it's going to get lower again and really soon, like in the next 4 or 5 days.
Well, that's what they're talking about. I looked it up this morning. It was at negative 4.33 feet, And, of course, we know that negative 5 is kind of the golden number, and we know the lowest it's ever been is negative 6.5, and it may actually hit that level. I think sometimes people forget when it starts to snow. They think that that makes all the difference in the world, but it really doesn't. And one of the things that the freight rates bring home good and hard to us is when you start to compare 67 cents a bushel on a barge compared to 91 on the rail and $1.82 on a truck. If you have to start alternative methods, it's going to hurt our basis levels. There's no question about that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. That's Jackie Vake. She's with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on the Closing Market Report on Wednesday afternoons to take a look at the agricultural commodity markets.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Well, your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, is here now. He'll help us take a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the fiscal cliff package approved by Congress and headed for President Barack Obama's signature includes a one-year extension of most agricultural policies that were in effect under the 2008 Farm Bill, with some exceptions. The agreement includes a one-year extension through September of 2013 of the 2008 Farm Bill, minus the Supplemental Revenue Assistance Program. The agreement does include direct payments for 2013 crops. It does not include language for a controversial new dairy gross margin supply management program, but instead extends the milk income loss contract program through next September. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow said the provisions amounted to Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell's farm bill, and added that while she voted for the overall agreement, she is, quote, not happy with what was done to agriculture. Stabenow blamed House Speaker John Boehner for getting to the point where an extension was the only option. One of the reasons Boehner has balked at bringing up a farm bill is disagreement within his caucus over how much money should be cut from food stamps, which make up roughly 80% of the half-trillion-dollar bill's cost over 5 years. Stabenow and her House counterpart, Representative Frank Lucas, now have until next September to draft legislation to replace the extended 2008 Farm Bill. There are indications that a new Farm Bill might be ready for floor consideration in both chambers before summer. Early reaction to the one-year Farm Bill extension was mostly negative. National Farmers Union President Roger Johnson accused Congress of leaving rural America out in the cold. Johnson said the extension amounts to a short-sighted temporary fix that ultimately provides inadequate solutions. Johnson added that the bill does not provide mandatory funding for the energy title, specialty crops, and organic provisions. American Farmland Trust called the decision to extend the current farm bill a missed opportunity, and the National Association of Wheat Growers also expressed concern for the one-year farm bill extension, saying the extension is not ideal and that there are serious questions about the implications of automatic spending cuts known as sequester, which are now postponed. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. A couple of other notes on the fiscal cliff legislation. It includes an update to the estate tax. The top tax rate on large estates has now been raised to 40%. That's up from 35%. But the $5 million exemption on estates inherited from individuals, or $10 million if it's inherited from a family estate, remains intact. And one other important note, those exemptions, if enacted, will be indexed for inflation. So they will go up over time, I suppose, if deflation takes place. They could go down over time as well, but indexed for inflation is an important note there. Capital gains tax was adjusted as well. For couples making over $450,000 a year or an individual over $400,000, the capital gains tax rate has been increased to 20%. If your income is under those levels, it remains at 15%.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Hey, have you signed up for our Voices of Illinois Agriculture event on the 25th day of January? That's a Friday evening at 6 o'clock. You're invited to come in and share a meal with myself and Jackie Vakes, Paul Cooley, Wayne Nelson, Gary Schnitke will be there. Steve Freed from ADM Investor Services will be along. And Orion Samuelson will be there to sign copies of his brand new book. That's the 25th day of January. Look on our website at willag.org in the calendar and then for Voices of Illinois Agriculture. And get yourself registered today. On the phone line now to take a look at the cash grain market is Tara Oliver. She's at the Andersons there in Logansport at the ethanol plant. Thanks so much, Tara, for talking with us today.
Yeah, not a problem.
Well, back and busy again on those first few days of January, or still waiting for corn and soybean corn to arrive at the plant?
No, actually, we did have quite a few people anxious to start rolling in with January contracts, and it seems, you know, there is some natural movement here at the first of the year. So the truck line was definitely steady today, and we'd probably expect to can see that continue through the week. I mean, really, there's quite a few people who made some sales ahead of time here, so now just trying to get some grain moved out of the bins, core bins, whatever it may be, just to get a little bit flow in here.
All right, sales or contracts already made. How about new sales? Anybody moving grain to you?
Not much. New sales have actually been pretty quiet. There has been a little bit of, you know, basis pressure, I think, here, especially if you look in the past month. We've seen some basis pressure for kind of this January time frame and maybe even a little bit into February that's enticed a little bit of selling. But with the board really dropping off these past couple weeks, selling's been pretty light, and I think most people are going to try and hold out and see if this thing can rebound a little bit.
From your vantage point there in Logansport, as you look out at the oil processors in the area for soybeans, are they hunting down new contracts?
Yeah, the bean processors are certainly looking to get some beans in and are aggressive. We've seen the bean basis in our area especially start to strengthen here over the past month, and it doesn't quite seem that they've, you know, really gotten their fill yet. So they're still, you know, looking to get aggressive for some beans and get some moving in there.
Your bids for the day?
Cash price tonight at Delphi on corn is $7.08, climber $7.13, and cash beans at Delphi are $13.98.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Tara Oliver is with the Andersons. She's at the climber's facility there in Logansport, Indiana. Joins us on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. Back in a couple of minutes with the weather forecast.
It's National Fritters Day. Thousands of years ago, the Romans and Greeks made fritters, deep frying flour mixed with milk, eggs, spices, and honey. On this day in agricultural history in 1885, George Richard Monat was born. An American physician, he was one of the developers of a raw liver diet used to treat anemia. In 1970, the Environmental Protection Agency began operations. William Ruckelhaus was the first director. President Richard Nixon charged the then 38-year-old Ruckelshaus to treat air pollution, water pollution, and solid wastes as different forms of a single problem. Ruckelshaus exceeded expectations, earning the nickname among lawmakers as Mr. Clean. And in 1995, Maria Telkis died, a Hungarian-born American biophysicist and chemist. She was a pioneer in using solar energy in heating applications. Among other things, she developed a solar-heated seawater distillation system and a solar-powered stove. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line, as usual, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City for this very first Wednesday of the new year, 2013. Drew, what can you tell us about the coming weather forecast?
Well, you know it's a new year, but I don't think we told Mother Nature. It seems like the same old pattern here that we're going to be working our way through the next week to 10 days, if not all the way through the rest of winter. We do have a little bit of a quieter pattern right now across the Midwest. You know, we've had some pretty impressive snows across the heart of the Midwest here recently, so we're going to take a little break from that, but it's not over. And probably sometime near this point next week, we'll probably see another large storm system coming into the region. It'll actually be a little bit warmer at that time, so it may occur more of a rain event initially. And that could lead us into a little bit of local flooding, but we'll wait and see what happens. That storm system's an awful long way out. And then we are seeing a lot of cold air showing up in all the long-range models for the end of next week going on into the following weekend. And so if that does occur, then certainly winter is not over. And while we're warmer here over the next few days, it'd probably be a good time to go out and get a suntan.
That wouldn't be too bad an idea. Speaking of suntans, why don't you take a quick move to the south and talk to us a little bit about the crop in Brazil and Argentina. It's moving through the growing season swiftly now.
Absolutely, and everything looks just wonderful. I was looking at the vegetative health indexes yesterday for Argentina. What a beautiful-looking chart. Now, the only place where there's stress right now being suggested in the satellite imagery is in the northwest of Argentina, where Santiago del Estero is located and some of the immediate neighboring states, and there really hasn't been a lot of rain there. That is a corn, sorghum, and soybean-producing state, as well as some cotton there. So some of the yields up there are probably going to be down. But the rest of Argentina, despite all of the press about the wet bias there, I think is going to end up doing relatively well. Yeah, we'll lose a little bit in the areas that had the too much moisture. And some of the winter wheat crop certainly suffered big time. And that wheat is about 70, 75% harvested now. So we should be finishing that up over this next week of relatively drier weather. But next week, it'll start raining again in Argentina. For Brazil, everybody's doing really well, except in the northeast. We've talked about that in past weeks, and I don't see any big changes coming up. That northeast corner of Brazil is not a major production region for corn and soybeans. It'll have a small impact, but we've got awful good yields in the rest of the country, so that'll be easily countered, and it'll still be a large crop.
Drew, thanks so much.
You bet. Have a good new year.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and that wraps up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.